Channel One Right on a new reel and a continuation of the visit with Miss Bessie and Suzanne past 500. Channel One Right on a new reel and a continuation of the visit with Miss Bessie this Tuesday morning, the 11th of January, 71. And Suzanne after Miss Bessie up to 500.
So
I can run you down.
What time are you going to work?
We're not going in today.
Oh, aren't you?
Mm-mm.
Oh, that's good.
So that's nice.
Are you drinking coffee?
Yeah, I was stretching my back. I heard y'all talking about Mag. What happened to Mag?
I was just saying Mag, she died, and she wasn't speaking to Laura. You know Laura, didn't you?
Mm-mm.
Laura Hatcher. Oh, you wasn't here, though. Yes, you was. You heard Mag die.
Yes.
Well, Laura stayed in that little house, down there.
Laura Harris?
Miss Liza's sister-in-law. You see, she married Mitch's brother. No, that was Mitch's sister.
Oh, Laura was Mitch's sister.
Yeah.
And lived where?
That was
Alfred.
Yeah. Well, that's her house. She owned that piece of ground down there.
Yeah, but she wasn't living there when I come down here.
No, but she come there after you come down here. After you moved here.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
I just didn't know her.
Well.
You know, yes. I know who she was, but I never knew her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she and Mag fell out.
They wasn't speaking. They fell out. I don't know what they fell out about, but they wasn't speaking, I know.
And they were right here living together.
Yes. Mag wouldn't speak to her. And I said, Mag, Friday before she died, because she died that next week, and she wasn't speaking, Laura wanted to come in there to say something to her, but Miss Liza wouldn't let her come in. And so she was lying in the bed, couldn't get her head off the pillow. She couldn't lift her head up, you see. Couldn't balance herself. And she wanted to get up and beat Laura off the porch, but Laura wasn't on the porch. You see, she's Laura's spirit, I reckon, come there, was bothering her, you see. And she wanted to get up and beat Laura off the porch. Told Nettie to hand her her stick. And so I said she wanted to do that and died that Tuesday.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right up to the last.
Yes, sir. And as much as she handled the wine and stuff like that in the church, and then living that kind of life, you see, I don't see how she could be at rest. You see,
yeah.
I don't see how she can be. Of course, I never say nothing about it, but you know what I mean. But I can't understand how could she be at rest.
Yeah.
She can't be, because I say God don't let you live that way. You see, you can't live that way and then die and don't never speak to a person that you're mad with. You never, she never part of lived with Laura, and you always ought to beat Laura, so, you know. But I said, I don't see how she could do it.
And they've been friends all their life.
Yes.
Come in.
Come on in, Suzanne. Well, Miss Bessie,
okay.
you were saying when Guy was out that at the love feast in the church, if you could were out without it out with your neighbor before you could take the communion, You had to shake their hand in the church.
Well, sure you had to. You had to acknowledge your wrongness, don't you know?
In front of everybody then.
Yeah. You couldn't go ahead and people know you was out with
yeah,
people.
They all know it.
And so you couldn't do it, you see. But you can't, one thing about it is you can't pretend that you are this, that, and the other, and you ain't, you see. You can't pretend that, because you have to acknowledge your own self that you're wrong.
And the preacher would help him out. He'd ask him questions then.
Oh, yeah, he used to, but they don't do nothing now. That's against the rule for them to do anything like that.
Yeah.
Don't know about asking you about if you're all right with your neighbors and all like that. So I know when you used to come in, they want to know before you take it, are you all right with your neighbors? Are you all right with anybody? Ain't your neighbor. So you got to acknowledge whether you're right or wrong. So, but they don't ask you nothing like that no more.
I'd love to talk to some of the old preachers that they have lived through all this, you know.
Oh, yes.
You take the Vidinella down there at Ocala, comes up here.
Jennings.
Now, he's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd love to hear him talk about it.
Well, he was there. He was there Sunday. I think he was there Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, he's one of the best.
Oh, yes. Jennings is all right. I mean, he's a tough.
Yes.
And I love to hear him. His, you know, sometimes he don't preach. He teaches.
Yeah.
You see, he teach more than he preach.
Yeah.
You see. And I love to hear him teach. Oh, yeah, I love to hear him teach that, go into that teaching. You know, he take his text, but he don't preach his text. He teaches it. And plays the, and preaching, he teaches you that you can explain everything to you. Explain it to you.
Yeah.
You can understand all about it as he just explains it.
He can explain it to me.
Yeah.
I've heard him talk.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's fine.
Oh, yes, he's fine.
You hear him and you and these other fellows, it's hard to listen to them.
Yeah. Well, you see, Jennings has went through it. You see, he went to school and all that. He learned all of that, you see. A lot of these preachers don't learn it. Don't learn it at all.
They just don't know it.
No, they don't know it.
Well, now, what I see him do don't sound like any school I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like more what he learned himself.
Yes, well, you know, he got to know something himself. Experience his own self.
Yeah.
You see, he teaches you a lot of the Bible, but he tells you experience of things that he have experienced, you see.
Yeah. That's right. And he can really tell you.
He really can.
And he tell you bad news and make you glad to hear it.
Oh, he really can talk. Yes, sir.
And he's so graceful in the pulpit. He moves so...
Yes, that's right.
He really does.
Well, that makes me want to go down and listen to him. I call him up and say, Brother Jennings, Reverend Jennings, where are you going to be this Sunday?
That's right. I would like to listen to him again.
Yes, sir.
I don't know where he was out there. I wasn't out to church Sunday because I wanted to go, but I didn't feel like getting ready to go. But he is there every third and the, I think he's there once a month. Yeah, so he, you know, other churches he goes to, he have to go and preach to them, you know.
Now, I don't know why in the world Uncle Gil can't listen to him.
The devil?
Yeah.
The devil keep him from us. You know, the devil may keep you from doing a lot of things. As you know, he get into you, your mind, and teaches you not to do these things, you see.
Yeah.
And he tell you so strong that you believe it,
yeah.
You see.
And you don't know what's coming over you.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, Jennings is a fine man. He really is a fine man.
Well, now, Mag never held things against people.
Who?
Mag.
You see, you didn't know Mag. You just know the aura, but you didn't know Maggie.
No.
Maggie is full of the devil.
You mean all along?
Yeah, she'd get up there and she'd fight in the church. Maggie is full of the devil, you know.
No, I thought she was just...
Yeah, that's right, she was.
People ought to be.
You didn't know her.
And she'd get right out there in church and tell them things.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Why? One preacher they ever had something come up and something she was concerning her, and she got up and told the preacher she was a lie, and she runned up in the pulpit and she hit him twice. She jumped, she said, go fight him.
In the pulpit?
Mm-hmm. It's like that. I tell you, you don't know that.
Well, now, wait a minute now, Miss Bessie. I want to know a little more about her. And she done that right in church.
Yes. So I tell you, you don't know her. You didn't know her.
And that was way back?
A few years ago.
15, 20 years? And she was old enough to know better.
Of course she was old enough to know better. But you see, if you deal with the devil, you'll do most anything. Did you know it? If you deal with him,
yeah.
You listen at him.
Yeah.
So he get it into your mind to do so and so.
Yeah.
After you know people do so many wrong things.
Yeah.
Because the devil gets into them and teaches them what to do, you see.
Yeah.
And after he teaches that, they go ahead and do what the devil say. The Lord ain't going to tell you nothing wrong. He ain't going to teach you to do anything that's wrong. But the devil will.
And that means Mag didn't know who was talking to her.
Yeah, she knew it.
Well,
but she
it.
Believed it. She was just that fiery. Mag was a fiery person. She'd fight anybody.
Lord, but you just let me think anything, Miss Bessie. You never get me straight on things. Ever since I come down here, I thought, well, now, Mag, she's this sort that they all know about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mag is full of the devil, I'm telling you the truth. I know her. And ain't been just now. I know her.
A long time.
Yeah, so she used to nurse me.
Yeah.
And so from that, she's been a devil, just like I'm telling you, she's been a devil all of her life. And she died a devil. That's right.
And she, but, and you saw it outside there.
Well, because I never seen nothing before Nettie about her. I never seen nothing Nettie about her.
Nettie don't know that.
I said, Matt, she knew her mom was a devil, but I mean, she, I never seen nothing talk to her concerning all about her, Meg. I could tell her a lot of things wrong, you know what I mean? But I never seen nothing to her. You know, that's the time you hurt people's feelings,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
They don't want to know everything.
No, they don't want
to. No, they don't need to.
No. And so, I never talked anything about her. Saying I didn't tell Nettie that she wanted to get up out of her bed and beat Laura.
Well, yeah.
I have never told Nettie that.
Mm-hmm.
And Nettie was right there in the house.
Mm-hmm. Well, now you see, what this does to me, when I learn things like that, it don't make me dislike people. Because Maggie's one of my favorites, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We had some fine talk down there on your porch.
Mm-hmm.
And in there by your fireplace. But it don't alter my feelings about that.
Oh,
but
no.
If it's so, I want to know it.
Well, well, that's right. But I never tell Nettie anything about it.
No, that's different. That's
I
child.
Talk to other people, you know, sometime about it. But I never say nothing to her.
But
I don't want to hurt her feelings. I think that I sit there and talk about her mama, you see. And so, I never said nothing to her. I never let on to anything about her.
And there's other things you could tell her about.
Yeah.
Such as? Tell me something else. Did she and Liza make it all right?
Yeah. And she and Liza's all right.
Her and Miss Boyle's got along.
Oh, yeah, she got along with Miss Boyle. And Miss Boyle's full of devil, too.
Oh, I know that.
Huh?
I know that. Well, how did it work out with Miss Boyle?
All right, and she'd be over here every day, most every day when she had the cows.
Yeah.
She'd always come over here and milk and churn, and her and this boy got along with his spine.
Yeah.
They both do a little cussing.
Yeah.
Is that the devil in them?
Huh?
They got along so well, there's the devil in them?
Oh, yeah, sure.
They loved each other's company.
Yeah.
You reckon they got together and cussed?
I don't know. So Miss Boyle, she was a devil, and Meg was a devil, too.
Miss Bessie, I think you're holding something out on me.
What do you mean?
About Meg.
No, I ain't holding nothing out on you.
Yes, you know one or two things that you haven't spoken about.
What is that?
Something like that, getting up in church and telling the preacher what was going on. That's good.
Well, she, as I say, she got up there in the church and she wanted to fight the preacher.
Yes.
She wanted to fight.
Yeah.
Run up there and hit him twice.
Yeah.
And so you know that wasn't nothing but the devil.
No, she could have waited till after the service.
Well, I tell you, Meg wanted to go to the conference. The preacher was holding conference in Leesburg, and she wanted to go. And she wrote this man a note, asked him to let her go along with him. Well, now, he he goes to work and told it right in the church, you see. And Meg told him he was a lie. She didn't do it.
But she did?
Yeah, she done it. She told him he was a lie. She didn't do it. And she got run up in the pulpit and hit him. Hit him twice. And then if he had been a man wanting to fight, it would have been a fight right there in the church, you see. So?
What preacher was that?
That was, you wouldn't know him for Evans. He lived in Levi's church. You know. Live over here, back over here. And
let me tell you, Miss Bessie. Suzanne never knew Bootsy.
She didn't.
No.
She didn't want to know, I read.
No, she wasn't down here then. And she never knew anybody like Bootsy. And Bootsy was a remarkable person, wasn't she?
Oh, yes, she was.
Now, when she got older, she had too much of that. She went to the bar too often.
Yeah.
But up until then, she was able to work.
Yes.
And she was interesting to talk to.
Yeah, that's right.
And she loved that outdoor work. She was an old field hand.
That's right. She didn't know nothing else but that.
And she didn't want to know nothing else but
no.
that.
No. That's all she wanted to do.
Yeah.
She was crazy about Freddie, you
yeah.
see.
Yeah.
And so, she was a good hand.
Now, that's the reason you took her in over there, because she was good company.
Mm-hmm. And I used to try to...
But after she got there, she got to, you know, things were...
I used to talk to Booth about that. Liquor drinking.
Yeah.
I used to get after about
well,
it.
Well, I'm not interested in that because that was at the tail end there. But up before that, she was nice to talk to.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was all right. But just that's the only fault Booth had, just that liquor.
Yeah.
And she would see that she brought vegetables to you?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
I don't know how you'd say anything, you know, tell about Bootsy. You see, it was all just that little way of talking she had, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
That's right.
And she's sort of mischievous and mean and nature, and, you know, she had a lot of things. You know, she was. There's not anything much you could say about her, see?
No.
Because she wasn't mean like we were just talking like Mag.
Oh, no. She wasn't mean like that. Because if you get after about anything, same thing, she would never say nothing.
Why not? Old Charlie James had a mean streak in him.
Yeah, he had another quick one to fight you, too. Yes, he was. I don't see how they, you know, call yourself right and have the devil in you. You know, you can't have the devil in you and call yourself right.
Yeah. Old Charlie James, I thought, you see, I didn't know him till he was feeble, he couldn't hardly walk. But I used to stop there and talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, he talked to me about he used to farm a lot, you know, and he was a two plow farmer,
mm-hmm.
three plow farmer. That's the first time I ever heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the other day somebody was a 50 plow farmer. That's pretty big, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But back in those days, they sort of you had so many teams and all.
Oh yes, he used to be. A good farmer because he used to work for John Mary.
Yeah. And Mary was one of the big families here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if y'all gotta go, you gotta go. We enjoyed your visit.
And I certainly enjoyed those greens. My goodness. I'll run you down. Except you said you wanted to walk. But I'll run you back.
Okay.
So you ran right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Been trying to get the kerosene man up here for her. Mag and Bootsy were remarkable people, but at that time I couldn't, you know, I could see them, but I couldn't put them down.
Mm.
Just learned so much in the last, so fast, you know, just the last, just such a short time.
Yeah, and you wonder how you go along so long without, you know, seeing what you see now.
And I look at that little book you see, the 133 book,
mm-hmm.
and I see the things in that that misled me all my time. And then I know what the other instructors are saying, and they, you know, the way they interpret them. And I know it's not proof. Like that boy going to see the world. He's going around the world in a sloop. Well, you see, that ties his hands right to God. That's so simple. I don't know what the remedy for it is. You can't institutionalize it. Saying I wouldn't, you know, can't do that.
I don't know either. Just maybe it takes a place like this. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it is. I just don't know what it is. What helped? What the deciding point for me was, you see, I learned a little at a time to use the tape,
mm-hmm.
and then I could look closely at what was said. And I never had a good ear. And I see people now, you know, who do have it. And I know I went to the Army with a boy from Knoxville. He was in math. He was a sort of a backward-looking fella, and he didn't know what his gifts were. And he had that gift of his ear; he could hear. And we went through boot training, basic training, and we'd sit in the summertime, and we'd sit through all those barracks, sweat, nose, and try to listen. Then they'd give us tests, and he never reviewed and never tried to remember, and made a hundred on every test. It's all word of mouth, you see.
Mm-hmm.
He just had the gift. I never had it. So I wonder, with him, you see, some of them, now I'm not saying about presently, right? I don't. In a way, they are different kind, different breed, different thing. They're scholars. They're really not writers in the old sense. I just wonder what made them like Ms. Rawlings and the other girl, Catherine Ann Porter. And, now you see the other one, Flannery O'Connor. She's scholarly too, or at least she's come up in that scholarly tradition. I can sort of see in Flannery O'Connor that she can hear what goes on, but she doesn't allow it to see. Her type of writing won't allow it to put it down like a coffin.
Maybe
maybe that's partly it then. You know, they, I don't know, Kirkpatrick the other day said, you know, he told the class, he says, now what I'm going to do essentially in this class is stop you from writing. He said, the more we go into how something is written, the less you'll be able to do it, because you're going to be worrying about juggling all these things.
That's effective, huh?
Yeah.
I see that in my classes. If I let them write the first week, they do a whole lot better than if I delay it.
That's what held me for a long time. I guess it still does to some extent. You start worrying about being good, and you don't do it at all.
And you can't keep from worrying. Well, it's good enough. How far along you have to be before you quit worrying?
Well, I don't know. I think it's the first time for me. I came in and report on Miss Mary that day we spent over there, that I spent over there on the first day.
Yeah.
And found out that I'd done it, you know, without, you know, it was just
not worrying.
Not without worrying.
Yeah. You had a long critical background,
right? Yeah,
but at least
awful long one, yeah.
Yeah, let go.
Yeah.
But it didn't bother you.
No, it was, it was fun doing it. It still comes up every once in a while, but I don't, you know, I recognize it, and I don't try to. Because it does pull, you know.
You can get a lot of that feeling.
Yeah.
Well, now you have a feeling of caution too. You got so many people to please. You got that. You still are in position. You've got to be cautious.
Yeah. It's like, you know, like I don't want anything lying around that Jim might pick up and read. You know that I think might make him feel bad or something like that.
Yeah.
Particularly if, you know, on his family or something like that. And, you know, I see that too, and so I, you know, I try to avoid it. And when I really get going, I usually don't think about it.
Yeah. Well, you see, I used to have that same trouble. But see, I got so, anything I write, anybody's perfectly welcome to look at it, and it lies out there. Faye used to go around and snoop. And she was snooping. In a very bad sense of the word. And she doesn't do it anymore. Probably because she's learned too.
Mm.
And I don't look at her stuff. I don't care what she writes. And if I looked at it, I wouldn't pay attention to it. I mean, you can write what you like, very well please.
Mm.
But you when you reach that point, you're dealing with pretty highly experienced people. And some of the younger ones, you see, they haven't gone through much. A little harder. That's what I run into all the time, you know, at Sunday school or places like that. They think of me as a special man. And they got to be careful. It's just the other way around. They can say, just like Miss Bessie was talking about, Mag died hating this woman. I never use it, but they don't know that.
Yeah.
They think I'd go out and write a book on it.
And I guess another thing, besides that, you know, you want it to be good, and you're kind of worried about what somebody might think about it, is you don't realize. What you see doesn't have to be earth shaking. In a sense, it seemed like the things Catherine Ann Porter writes about and her family, you know, everybody's got a family, and there's all sorts of things that go on in families, and you don't realize that it's worth looking at a lot of times. You think, well, it's got to be a love story or something like that. You know, it's got to be something really important. Mm-hmm.
You probably will enjoy working with Mr. Kirkpatrick because he'd be fresh for you.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling you kind of wore out on my point of view. And you see, I stay with it, cause, you know, because I have to. I don't have as much time left as you have. Mm-hmm. And what I do, you see, I've got to do while I have possession of my faculties. And they could go just like that. I don't talk about that. But at my age, you see, they could go. And I can't win it. I don't have the leisure.
Well, I don't feel like I've worn it out because, like, this past week, you know, I just, you know, I think, well, it's because I'm, you know, getting ready for classes and all. But it wasn't that. I was just drifting. And I'm very conscious of the sense that what I needed to do was to get out here and do something. You know, kind of get the blood stirring around again.
I don't think you're right for Mr. Kirkpatrick. I don't think any of them do. He takes a couple of manuscripts a term.
Yeah, I know.
And they are all sort of delayed, you know, you pick up a few critical points, but I don't think it's really, I don't think it's worth your time. But you could look at the stories yourself and
yeah,
get the whole critical theory. Well, I could give it to you. I've gone through all that. Or the poetry. But you see, you never know. You have to sort of play your chances. I tell you, Suzanne, what I was thinking about, I was a little worried about it. You've dawdled a great deal with me, and you're the only person I've ever let get away with that. And you've performed, and you've made the people I work with much more kindly disposed towards me. And it's you see, in that way, it's been a great help. But I think we better not. I don't think we better risk this last. You see, I'd rather you'd feel kindly towards me, and preserve the point of view, than to get tied up on this credit business.
Yeah, I know.
You see, everybody has a hard time. I mean, no matter who you're married to, I imagine most young people, you see, have to pull against each other. And, you see, I can't work with Jim, and he can't work with me, so that doesn't help you.
The guy had done, I told Ann the other day, I said, it wouldn't matter if I, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, you know, or what kind of things come up. And I'm still going to stick with this. I mean, it's too important to me.
I don't believe you can do it by yourself.
Well, I know that. That's why I say. I know. I mean, like calling up this morning. Now, I mean, I realize that's, you know, that's going out of your way to, you know, push somebody. It takes energy on your part, you know, to push me. And I know that. And, you know, I really appreciate it. I realize you can't keep doing that. It's, you know.
Well, it is a drain on me, and I've had more of it. See, than I've gone along so far with so many that it's. And you see, Cookie's a drain on me. I've got absolutely nobody to lean on but Faye, and it's
a drain on me.
Yes, I can't lean on you anymore. I used to. See, I can't tell what you're gonna do. And you like Cookie, you don't. You say you're gonna do something, but you don't come through. Well, that's perfectly all right because it's, you know, nothing. I mean, it's not important. But all told, you see, it sort of adds up. And I'm gonna have to work with the mature people for a while, with the professional scholars. I thought I wouldn't ever do that, but it's come to that. I don't have the energy to work through the young people enough anymore. I'm going to have to go through some of the things with them that I've done out here and let them see it and use it however they want to use it. But at least they'll see what's the sort of thing we've done. You see, and you've had a big hand in that because you've gone right through all of it. Because the first real hold I had on it was that fall. But on the personal side, like I said with you, I want you to feel free to move and not feel, you see, that you got to please.
I tell you what, guy. you know how you feel like that you're waiting in there for one of my manuscripts. You don't have to. You just let me feel that way, and I'll get them.
Yeah. Well, I do the same thing. You see, I mean, I send it out too, and I can't afford to work with anyone who doesn't. Not anymore. You see, I'm not learning anymore. I've gone as far as I'm going, and I don't know. I think you take a little break. I think that would be the best thing for you. I mean, for me. Now I've gone a good deal farther than you have, and I see some of the things you can do, and I don't think you'll do them unless you do them with me. I don't think you'll even write anything unless you do. The creed writing, I don't think has any possibilities. And you won't learn enough in there to do you any good. And once you learn a great deal of it, will hinder you. You see, I've gone through all that.
Yeah.
You see, I've worked with the creative writer people. I worked with them for month after month after month, Suzanne. I mean, you don't realize, you see, how much background I've had in these things. Why, hell, I taught business English for 5 years, term after term. And whenever I get into something, I make something of it. You know that? Yes. I know as much about Dale Carnegie's type of writing as he does. I mean, no more. You see, I've got into them. So, I don't know. You need to play. Whatever you want to do. And you see, you see me as critical of your horse operation up there. Well, you have the same view of it. I mean, you understand what's going on, just I do. But when you see me, you feel pinched about it. And you see, I don't want to pinch you. I don't want to push you or press you about anything.
Well, guy, you know, I don't think I will feel pinched for about a day, and then I'll forget about it, because it's like, so when you're making, hey, you told Jim your jester didn't wear shit, and like for about an hour, Jim and I were really hot under the collar. I mean, we were mad, and both of us, and then I thought about it, and I said, well, you stupid ass, you know he says things like that all the time. I mean, you know, and you jump on me all the time, and it.
Well, that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
If you're going to work together. Now, that's Mark Twain, you see.
I mean, it doesn't bother. I know what you think about the horse, and I see the problems in it, too, but it doesn't bother me. I still like it.
You have to do the best you can.
So, and I know my own self well enough to know that I enjoyed sitting around doing nothing. And I also enjoyed going out and talking this morning. I mean, they're about equal. It's just easier to do one thing than the other. But I will do the other thing. I don't think I'd do it on my own, though. It's a problem. And I can't, you know, I'm not going to have year-round forever to push me, so I don't know what to do.
I tell you, Suzanne, there's a, I don't know where you get it or when you get it or anything about it, there's a sort of drive, sort of a drive. It's always kept me going. I don't know what it is. You see, most of the things I've learned out of the universities. I've been in the universities all the time, but I didn't learn much in them. I finished school, and I said to myself, look at here, I've studied languages since I started school. I don't know anything about them. So I lit off and learned it. And I learned it by myself well enough I could listen to lectures. I don't know what it is. I mean, I'm no model, you see.
Yeah.
I don't mean that at all. Anything but a model. I've got more. That's what held me down. You see, I've got so many bad qualities that alienate people. See, you're one of the few people who's ever been able to work with me long. And it's most because of my obnoxious side. My greatest trouble, I have never been able to work around people. I can't have people on the foot. And you see, that didn't bother you. You can work right in the middle of them. You see, you've got such a great advantage. Yeah, you see, with Jim, I'd like to see Jim. I'd like to see him really, really, really ease us in horses. I'd like to see him really make something out of it. See, I'm all on his side.
He won't drive 30 miles to work. He simply will not do it.
Well,
if he could learn something.
Well, he can move out there.
Yeah, good. And one of these days he'll get it into his head and he'll do it.
Yeah.
But it can't come from me.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a certain point where he won't let me push him.
Yeah.
Or do anything, and then you know he's
finished. Yeah. You know, one thing I try not to do is use people. We've used you just a little bit, just to listen to people. Part of your own experience. But, these young men in particular use their wives. They don't realize how mean they are in doing that. So, I mean, your position is not simple. Not at all. Yours or any of them, I don't mean just you. Yes, they've got an extra hand, you see, to help them. So, it's,
it's exciting to learn to work with them. Jim, most of the time he says, okay, take off. He runs, maybe for a week he'll be put out, and then it'll be over.
Yeah. Well, if you were swapping off, you were more likely would improve on himself.
I know. as long as he's happy, then it doesn't matter what I do. He's fine. I'm fine.
Yeah. Just let him buy another banjo.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
That's just about it.
Yes, and you wear the clothes your mama makes. I'll tell you, Suzanne. I've thought about your deal. You've got that view of Lum's, and it would help me. I mean, I could use that. I don't mean with you, but I could. It'd help me with the young people I deal with. And
that world's closer than this one, I mean, today.
Oh yes, but they don't see it.
Mm. Cookie does, but they don't.
He sees it in part.
He sees John. I think he knows a little bit about John.
Does he?
He said, I mentioned them working.
Well, let me tell you, I don't need the information. I need it on the manuscript so I can get to it. And that that thing about the stables out there would be just as useful to me. I mean it's just useful. I mean, I could use it. And you know, I don't things in my hand don't get publicized.
No, I don't worry about that.
I mean nobody ever hears anything from me. I mean, if there's anything particular about it. You know, I know how to use the material.
Don't worry about that.
No. Yeah, I've done that for years and years.
Well, you know, this I tell you what my thinking was when I registered this court. I asked Helstrom, would he sign the card for a blank court and let me do what I want? And he said yes. And I feel, well, that way you don't have to worry about, I don't have to worry about you giving me a grade. In other words, like this summer, I think that was one of the problems. I couldn't come and talk to you about something because I was afraid that, you know, you can't take very many ideas from somebody. You know, it's not fair. It's like getting somebody to write a paper for you. But if I don't have to worry about that, then I can talk about stuff.
I don't know what you're talking about. You see, if I have learned anything, you see, the whole thing here is if I lead it, it's not worth anything. She picked that up herself this morning, Miss Bessie. We started off on Gil. He brought her those greens, and she brought Faye some of them. And so I held it on. I wanted to talk about Uncle Gil. We both like him. I'm extremely fond of him. I don't work with people I don't like, you know. So I couldn't undo him, could I? And he's mean. And she could pick that up. And she had him cussing all up and down this front pasture, you see, when he was raising corn. And then we took it to somebody else, and finally we got it to Mag. Now, Mag died the first year I was out here, but I used to sit on the front porch there and listen to her talk. And, oh, she had a gift. And she had spent years and years, 20 years with Ms. Boyles, who lived over here. And Ms. Boyles is the last person from the countryside to live here, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I broke it when I came. And she was really authentic. Oh, she was authentic. Now, she's still around, and Florence is one of her friends. And she goes down to see her. Can Florence read at all?
I have no idea.
You could find out things like that for me that I can't find out. I think all she learns by word of mouth. Now, Carl can't read. If he reads a line, it takes him a good while to get over a whole line. And he can't read an article and even read his digest in a whole evening. Carl. But you see, he's a genius with that. All right, so there you are. And she won't write. I know she can write. I don't think she, when she was up there sitting in that class, I don't think she read a single thing. I think she has that good ear. And see, another thing
I don't think she bothered
me. Yeah, you know, another thing you could do for me, you can talk to these kids that, you see, I can't talk to. I can't talk to Leonard. I can't talk business with him. It doesn't work. It just won't work. Now, I was awful put out the other morning when I came out there. I was mad. But see, I can put it in words. It'll sting, but it won't do anything else.
It won't leave any scars.
That's right. It's barking, and you can bark and not bite, you know. because I'd had so much of that. And you see, the other side that you haven't, that I didn't put in out there, is Cookie doing the same thing. He plays off in a gifted way. You've seen him do a little, but you haven't seen him the way I have. And some of his is right gifted, and he was out there that morning to throw off again. That's what he was here for. And so I just, now you see what I did, I'll show it to you. I exploded, but I did it deliberately. I don't do anything spontaneously. I don't know what that is. What is that? Practice.
I
knew what I was doing, and I had a structure to it.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I made my statement through the staff meeting, and then I worked you in through the 10-3.
Yeah, I could see what you're doing.
And I don't guess Leonard could. He's
had he was good too.
Could he?
He laughed about that all the way down to Orange Lake.
Did it?
Yeah.
Is that right?
He sure did. He got in a car and he just about collapsed. He got some tickle. And Cookie says, I'm not sure I want to work out here today. Leonard says, I think he's on the warpath.
Well, I put it up. I came in here and knocked it off. And then a little bit later, I could see what you've got to touch it up a little bit. I don't care how good you are, you still got to touch it up. So I lined it out a little better. And I put the cows in. And you see, on something like that, and you see, that helped me in class. I talked to the freshman about the guest of the nation. And they liked it. They thought that was right. But they liked it for the wrong reason. They liked the emotional part. So that, you see, I worked along with them so I could see then, you know, I worked with them. There's the two parts. The first part's the good part. But I had not seen this, that the good thing about the first part is that Hawkins, in that final speech of his, does the same thing I did out there. It's outrage. I carried that into the Yes of the Nation, and you see, and made something of it.
Yeah.
I see Hemingway does the same thing in that little picture of the storm. And they get the treasure view of it. And I see that's just a framework. What he's saying is that this rough man is the one who can actually see that wreck. In Hemingway, it's the roughnecks who have feelings. And the suburbs have none. In Hemingway.
Mm.
As you can see in that little story.
Yeah.
But it's quiet, and they couldn't see it. And before the man can say anything, it has to be quiet. Once you put all that emotion in it, you're lost. You're lost. Lost, lost, lost. Well, you just set your own pace then. And let me tell you, Suzanne, I want you to feel, you'll say anything about it, but if you possibly can sometime, you just put on your roll up your sleeves and knock those two things off from me.
Okay.
Because you see,
I never let up in class. I don't care what it is. I mean, obnoxious as class is. I hold the feet to the fire constantly. Well, you know,
that's
little,
why I ever missed one.
A little at a time. I do. A little at a time. Not too much. And I don't care if half of them say, I don't care. I guess I don't care. But the one, the half that's there. I learned that, I told you that 1,600 times. I learned that from Miss P.K. over here at the Little French School. It got so, she's the matriarch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She's the head of the whole Richmond clan. I'm sorry you didn't get out here in time to see her. She's a wheelchair. She's past going. But the little church there, you see, got so poorly attended. And we'd start, we'd wait and wait and wait. And we'd start, and she heard a car. Wait for that door to open. Sometimes she'd get up and look out. And I thought I could see her. That's when I learned that I didn't need an audience. Two or three is all enough for me. If anybody was there, at the Sunday school, would go right on. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
But I learned that from her. My trouble is, I learn so slow, and it's so hard. All my learning is hard. Now, you see, I think one reason you are as no counter as you are is it actually comes easy for you. You don't have to work for it.
Yeah, just the rough first time around, it's best easy.
Yeah. See, when I read a piece of fiction, yeah, it's a constant struggle with me.
Well, that's not easy. I still, you know, tend to like the emotion in Guest of the Nation. You know, that's what'll make me like the story first, and then I go back and, you know, start looking at
it. Yeah. Yeah. The old Greeks, you know, wouldn't let them kill people on stage. We did have a visit with Miss Guthrie the other night. Oh, she's feeling good. She's feeling good. Now, look, Suzanne, I tell her that you have tried to get in touch with her, and she doesn't believe it. And, well, she says she's got a telephone. And, now, can't you be a little more systematic? Can't you, huh?
Yeah.
Or not a little bit more? I'm just jumping, you see. Now, what you trying to do is get away from me. Why I won't jump you?
Yes, channel one over on this new reel and the end of the visit with Suzanne, and Miss Bessie came first this Tuesday morning.